Isaiah 44, I want to talk about this extraordinary prophecy about Cyrus. Now, 150 years before Cyrus existed, he was being spoken about by Isaiah. This is one of the clearest examples of God having a future plan for his people. Verse 28 is very clear. Who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying of Jerusalem, she will be built, and of the temple your foundation will be laid. Well, in Isaiah's time, Hezekiah lived, and he had unfortunately given up, it seems, his faith in the last part of his life, and had got friendly with ambassadors from Babylon and so forth. And so God says that as punishment, the people are going to go into captivity in Babylon, and that's happened. But then from chapter 40 onwards, Isaiah continues the message and says, yes, and they will be restored from there. And he talks about this Cyrus, who is going to do this, that somebody called Cyrus is going to be God's shepherd and will do God's will and will tell Jerusalem she will be built or rebuilt and the temple is going to be laid again. And exactly that's what happened, that Cyrus made this prediction, pronouncement that the Jews were to return, and he said, I give you all that you need. What do you need? Stone, timber, yep, I'll provide absolutely everything. Go back. Go and do this. And yet, tragically, most of them didn't want to go. They became fairly wealthy. You can see that from Haman wanting to destroy all the Jews and give a huge amount of money that would have arisen from their property being expropriated into the king's treasury. They had assimilated there into Babylon or Persia, and most of them didn't want to go back, and those who did go back were not very well motivated, as you see from the book of Haggai, Ezra, Zechariah, etc. They built their own little houses and were quite happy to live in their own houses whilst the house of God was desolate. Now, Cyrus was raised up to do this very clearly, and he is a form of the servant. You see, verse 26 here, who confirms the word of his servant and performs the counsel of his messengers, who says of Jerusalem, she will be inhabited. Well, who is the servant? It's defined there in 28, who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure. So then, when you go on into chapter 45, and the chapter break is unfortunate, thus says verse 1, Yahweh to his anointed, his Christ, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held. I will go before you, make the rough places smooth. I'll break the doors of brass in pieces, cut apart the bars of iron, perhaps referring, it seems, to the conquest of Babylon, 100 massive gates, 25 on each side of the city, all made of brass. And he says, verse 4 of chapter 45, for Jacob my servant's sake and Israel my chosen, I have called you by your name, I have surnamed you, though you have not known me. So it was God's intention then that Cyrus should do all these things and be his shepherd, to shepherd his people back. There's a lot of prophecies about what Cyrus was intended to do, particularly that he was to be the shepherd of God's people, to bring them back. Most unusual choice to use a Gentile to do this. And to use this man, verse 27 of chapter 44, to say to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up your rivers. Well, this is what happened, really, in order to take Babylon, that the irrigation canals from the Euphrates were dried up. Well, this was the intention, and God had a huge intention for Cyrus. But I think that in the same way as Israel generally didn't respond, because most of them didn't respond to the decree of Cyrus, so I think Cyrus also was not completely as he could have been. He did not, in fact, become the shepherd that's spoken of in Ezekiel 34, who was going to restore Israel. Yes, he made the decree. And yet, when you look at the decrees he made, he actually encouraged a lot of the captive peoples to return to their homelands and to build temples, etc., where he could be prayed for. It was actually part of a policy right across the board with all the various captive peoples. And yet, you know, from God's point of view, particularly his attitude to the Jews was, of course, in God's will and God's plan. Well, he was, though, chapter 45, the anointed one. He was anointed, as it were, by God, not physically, but he was marked off for a special purpose. And yet it seems that he didn't actually take that through. And this raises a whole load of questions. Does God choose political leaders today, like he chose Cyrus, and planned ahead of time that they should do certain things for him, according to his will, in relation to his people? Yeah, why not? And yet, I guess, like Cyrus, a lot of them maybe don't actually do all that he intends them to do. They do it partially. They do some of it. And this is why our lives and human history is a bit hard to sort of make sense of at times, because there appear to be started projects that were never finished. God appears to have done certain things that don't have any abiding long-term meaning as far as we can see. And part of that is just our lack of perception. But I think part of it is also because of this way that God has of working that he will not force. He didn't force Cyrus to do this. He did not force his people to return. And because of that, a lot of potentials are set up. And yet, because human beings don't realize them, don't fulfill those potentials, or they do so partially, there are odd things that are left sort of scattered around in our lives, as it were. It's like chess. You may move a piece into a rather strange position because of a plan that you've got, but the other guy, well, he does something else, not as you expect or as you wanted. And so your piece remains in that rather strange position to the end of the game. And if you look at the piece where it is on the board, you'd say, well, what's that doing there? That seems wasted. That seems a strange thing to have put that piece there. Yeah, well, it was relevant to a certain plan in the past that was frustrated by lack of human response. And this is the sort of thing that goes on in our lives. Why was I moved in my job to that city? Why did that happen at that time? Why did my daughter marry that guy from that place just at that time? Why did our house burn down and all those documents got destroyed? All this sort of thing. And you sense the hand of God in all this, but when you try to attach meaning to the events, you find it's not a clear picture at all. As I say, part of that is lack of perception. But part of it is because of this way that God has of working. And yeah, he doesn't force people. He sets up situations. People may or may not respond to it. For example, it may be that you are on a plane that got diverted to a certain city, and, well, actually the plane, I don't know, broke down or something, and the airline put you up in a hotel, and you were stuck there for a day in this hotel. And you think, I wonder why that was. Well, yeah, it could have been that the guy you sat next to at breakfast in that hotel, you were meant to witness to. Maybe you did witness to him, but the guy didn't respond. Or maybe you bottled out of the witness and you didn't witness as you should have done. Looking back years later, you think, why was I diverted to Birmingham, Alabama? That was such a weird deal. I spent a day there. God was obviously in that, but why? Well, that's maybe the answer. You should have witnessed to that guy at the breakfast in the breakfast bar, but you didn't. And maybe you did, and the guy didn't respond. Okay, but looking back at your personal history, you think, why was that day spent in Birmingham, Alabama, or that night spent there, or whatever? And so it is, I think, with all this material here about Cyrus, that he's spoken of as being Yahweh's servant who does God's will, etc. And the shepherd who's going to bring the people back, and the anointed, the Christ of Yahweh, in chapter 45. Clearly chosen by God to do this. And did he do it all? Well, he did bits and pieces of it. He did make the decree. Yes, he did. And he did offer to sponsor them as they needed. But they didn't respond, and he did not go further in fulfilling all these prophecies about him. It's easy to say, but he was a type of Christ. Well, but what do you mean by that? I would say that that is a fair comment, I suppose, to say he was a type of Christ. But I think what actually happened, how it ended up that he is seen as a type of Christ, is that he could have been the Anointed One. Well, I mean, it says in chapter 45, verse 1, thus says Yahweh to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held. That, sure, he could have done the work of Jesus, but he didn't. He failed to do it completely. And so these prophecies come true ultimately in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. That's how, if you wish to look at it in terms of types, Cyrus would end up a type of Christ.